Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Our series in the last leg of Thursday Live, every Thursday, where we ruminate on Bhagwan's direct message. The message that Swami painstakingly wrote for decades, right from 1950s, right from the time he put his stylus down to pen Prema Vahini. It followed with so many streams of divine wisdom: Sutra Vahini, Vidya Vahini, Prashnottara Vahini, Sandeha Nivarini, Prashanti Vahini, Satya Sai Vahini, Bhagavata Vahini, Ramakatha Rasa Vahini, and each of them is a stream which, if we can at least taste and experience even a drop, that is enough to purify us. That is enough to ensure that our small s gets converted into capital S, and every capital S is Sai. If it is self-confidence, it is Sai confidence. If it is self-satisfaction, it is Sai satisfaction. If it is self-sacrifice, it is Sai sacrifice. If it is self-realization, it is Sai realization. The whole journey is to convert this small little S into that big S. And every one of these streams is only a pointer, is, I would say, a painstaking effort that the avatar took month after month, himself writing it down. It never happened before. No avatar ever wrote down his message. Here was Satya Sai writing down so that we understand its value, and sometime at least later in life we ruminate and then make this a part of our life, just so that we are happy, just so that we can be in bliss. That Sai always in. So, after about 21 episodes of Vahini Satsang, we are today now still continuing Prema Vahini, because every time you take one line and the discussion is endless just for one statement of Prema Vahini. But somehow today we have come week after week in this beautiful satsang to chapter 9. In the previous week we did the first section of chapter 9, where Bhagwan talks about the transient nature of power and how man forgets that he really does not have complete power over anything, how only the eternal power is beginningless and endless. And we had Professor Chandrasekhar, the former head of the department of mathematics and computer science, sharing his own personal experiences, his life defining moments. And we received so many feedback, so many letters from listeners all over the globe saying how that satsang helped them to reduce their ego, how it helped them to align themselves more to Bhagwan's will. And all of you, dear listeners, who took that pain to write to us, thank you so much, because every time you write, it is Swami writing. Whether it is a praise, whether it is a feedback which will make us improve. But a satsang is a two-way process, and every time you let us know, it always encourages us. It always is a message from Bhagwan. So today, Swami in His graciousness has sent to the studios two very, very illustrious souls. One of them is a former student of Bhagwan's university, and today he is in this mission of spreading the glory of Bhagwan through his music, through his melody, through his bhajans. Brother Dr. Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a very familiar figure in the Sai fraternity. And Bhagwan has also sent to energize all of us, to fill us with that inner power, to make us never ever feel weak, to make us never ever feel that I cannot do this, to always feel that I am Sai's soldier, to always feel that I am Sai, so I can do anything. I can be that instrument that Swami wants me to be for this. Someone who is an epitome of this, the firebrand leader, the firebrand instrument of Bhagwan, Mr. Ajit Popat from United Kingdom. He's here with us. Really grateful to Swami that he has made this possible as we await to celebrate and offer our salutations to Bhagwan as the supreme preceptor, as the Paramaguru, as the Sadguru. As we prepare ourselves for this festival, Swami has sent to the studios Mr. Ajit Popat and Dr. Sonam Gyamso. So, dear listeners, so let's get started. I will now play the second section of chapter 9, and after that we will request Mr. Ajit Popat to share his thoughts, his experiences and his insights.
Lokamuna kondaru vidyadhikari aniyo, marikondaru dhanadhikari aniyo, shastradhikari aniyo talanchavachu. Aithe ee adhikaramunaku kontha varaku maatrame haddu kaladu. పోని కొంతవరకైనా అధికారమున్నది కదా అని తలంచవచ్చును. ఈ విద్యలను ఈ ధనమును ప్రసాదించువారు ఒకరున్నారు కదా, అట్లు ప్రసాదించువారికంటే వీరు అధికారులు కాదు కదా. ఈ రీతిగా యోచించి చూడ, ఒకరికొకరు అధికులై కడకు సర్వులను అనుగ్రహించు సర్వేశ్వరుడే సర్వాధికారి కాని, క్షణకాలమునకు సంప్రాప్తమైన అధికారమునకే నేనధికారి అన్న అదియే అహంకారము.
Some may consider themselves to be the authorities on education, wealth or philosophy. But all these authorities have their limitations. Still, someone may think, "What does not matter, at least I have some authority." But that authority is the result of someone granting you that knowledge and wealth. This only means there is an authority higher than you. That authority is given that power by someone even higher. If you think likewise, finally you reach that point where you recognize that the ultimate authority is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, to have short-lived power and think of oneself as a person of authority is indeed ego.
So, thank you so much, Mr. Ajit Popat sir, for coming to the studios. And you just heard what Bhagwan is saying to us in this second section of chapter 9. And if you can elaborate from your experience, from your life, you are someone who has experienced a lot of authority, experienced a lot of wealth. You know what it is to have power. You know what it is to be able to command over a group of people. You know how to build a business. You know how you can actually overpower people through your position, through your wealth, through your education. You have seen all of that in life. So if you can share from your own life and from your interactions with Bhagwan, your insights about what you think about what Bhagwan has shared here, how can we understand this further? Not only understand, how can we assimilate and practice this in our real life? Some practical lessons that we can follow in our real life.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Dear listeners of Radio Sai, I am greatly honored and I bow down to my beloved Lord for having given me this opportunity to share in the spirit of caring and sharing. First of all, I will invoke the blessing of Mother Sai. Yadevi sarva bhutesu shakti rupena saustita namastasye 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 namo nama. I suppose, in a way, I am the right person to talk on the subject of power. Because I ran away from my home at a tender age of 18. Mm-hmm. At the age of 19, I landed myself as a military cadet in Indian Military Academy. Having abandoned my education and without the knowledge of my parents, I landed there. Mm-hmm. After 1 year of training, I became a second lieutenant. And I had the power to arrest a man. And I had the power of first-class magistrate.
Wow.
So at that young age, when I had the money and the power, I was walking in literal sense 6 inches above the ground. came 1965 and I participated in the war, and when I saw on my own colleagues dying there like vegetables, then I realized that my sense of power was so hollow. And then I realized that my behavior with my subordinates was also my own illusion. Because I was a second lieutenant, and after 2 years of my service, I became captain of the Indian Army.
Wow.
But then I had always a major in front of me, who is senior to me. And the major was relying upon the shoulders of lieutenant colonel. And the colonel thought that he is a big man, but he had to report to brigadier. And the brigadier thought that he has to report to major general. By the way, this is the hierarchy of military rank.
Yes.
And the major general thinks that he is a divisional commander and he is commanding 29,000 people. Whereas, he has to report to lieutenant general. The lieutenant general thought that sitting in Delhi Army headquarters, he is one of the top brass. But then literally he realized it, that he was always overshadowed and overruled by the chief of the army staff, who was a general. The general then thought that he is now all in all. One fine morning, the Prime Minister of India appointed General Manekshaw as a field marshal. And he thought that he was a little boy in front of him. So, brothers and sisters, the question here arises is that what power are we talking about? I remember once I was sitting at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Swami. I had come with a group of 436 people. We had chartered a jumbo aircraft from London to Prashanti Nilayam with Swami's divine grace and permission. Bhagwan had called selected of us and he was talking about the power. He said, people talk about power. What kind of power are you talking about? Swami elaborated, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Gnan Shakti. If there is a complete balance between the three, Kayana, Vachana, Manasa, you derive the power from within. Swami also very beautifully explained to me that anything that you acquire with your effort or as a bonus or as a grace, it cannot be a power. The real power comes from within.
Also, if anything, if you have achieved.
Yeah, because I'll give you an example. In general election, if you are elected as a member of parliament after 5 years, you are again going there as a beggar. Pardon my saying. Asking for the vote.
Yes.
Because without those votes, your power is gone.
Yes.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Hmm.
You become a mayor. The tenure is 4 years. Afterwards, if you ask him what is the name of the mayor, he said, who the hell he is? So we are talking about things which are actually passing cloud. A man who becomes a Supreme Court judge and then he becomes the Chief Justice by seniority, the day he puts down the last judgment, nobody wants to know him. Nobody is not even aware of him.
Yeah.
So, the judicial power is related to his position. So, Bhagwan said that power is derived from position and possession. First, you are craving for position. To acquire that position, you start collecting possessions. Either it is financial power, either it is a physical power, bahubalam, dhanbalam.
Yes.
But the real balam is atmabalam, atmashakti. So Bhagwan made it very clear that do not get puffed up because you have got the power. Because the body is, because some people are very powerful in their oratory and then they are in their behavior because they are very handsome. But come at the age of 60 and you start seeing the wrinkles and then you are looking for the cream, you know, nowadays it is available in the market, how to remove the wrinkles. Nobody has succeeded.
How to remove the wrinkles?
Yes.
Look young again.
Yes.
So, brothers, somebody is proud and very powerful about the position that is very handsome or beautiful. Somebody thinks that he is controlling 20,000 people. Somebody thinks that he is a minister. Maybe, for all you know, he is a minister without portfolio. You see?
Yeah.
A married man thinks that he is very powerful. But the real fact is that the housewife is the home minister, isn't it? And if she is clever, then she is also finance minister. And nowadays, she is controlling the mobile. Yeah? So, she is also communication minister. Then what are you? So, brothers and sisters, Brother Pushti today has raised a very pertinent question, because as we see the newspaper every day, the nation is trying to empower the other people by exercising their own political and military power. The leaders are trying to force the issue on the public by bringing in the name of reforms, but they are all trying to exercise the power. Come next 5 years, and if they are out of power, like it has happened in the United States of America,
yes,
Obama healthcare,
yes,
is now being completely rejected by, yes, the president,
yes,
the new president,
yes,
Mr. Donald Trump.
Yes.
So, what I'm trying to tell you is that now, as Bhagwan was telling us time and again in Kodaikanal, standing in his balcony, as the lake is covered with the passing clouds, he used to say, these passing clouds will disappear as soon as they are trying to hide the most glorious and magnificent sun, but within a second they will pass away. Likewise, this power is very temporary.
Fleeting.
Very fleeting. Actually, in reality, if you do not rely upon your atmik bal, atma shakti, you are actually powerless. Does the train start according to your whims and fancies? If they say that the train is late by half an hour, where is your power? Where is your power? You have to wait. If the flight has not taken off, what can you do? What can you do? Yes. You are sitting in your chair and powerless. But I am an MLA. Hell with you. Who cares? The pilot is not going to land and do a forced landing, you see. What I am trying to tell you is that nothing happens according to my whims and expectations. Actually, things happen according to the laid down procedure and according to the best time. Because God's timing is the best. It is said very beautifully in Holy Quran that He is all-knowing, all-hearing, and all-seeing, and all-powerful. The real power comes from that source. That is why Bhagwan once told me in Kodaikanal very beautifully, and I suppose the readers will listen very carefully, and if possible, they will make a note in the diary. Go to the source with all the force, where you find all the resource. There is no other recourse. That is the right course, and that is the essence of my divine discourse.
Yes.
That is power.
Wow. Amazing.
You go to the main.
Yes.
The source.
The source, where you find all the resource. That is power. We are now going somewhere else. Brother Sonam will like to say something and share with me, because he is a powerful man on music. He has come with the power from the Lord Sikkim. So let us hear him.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's so wonderful to sit here and listen to you on this beautiful issue of ego.
Yeah.
This Swami has been all the time, as you said, reminding us time and again about to be aware of the upsurge of your ego.
Yes.
When, you know, Swami once told us that imagine a fly sitting on the steering wheel and saying that and feeling that I am driving the car.
Oh my God.
So we were once singing a bhajan, a very old bhajan, it's a vintage bhajan now, nobody sings. Sada bhajo Sai Ram, Nirdhan ko de dan, aham ko do balidan. Bhajan was like that. Sarva Gyani Mahapurush ko dil se do samman. This bhajan came from Calcutta.
Aham ka do balidan. That's
aham ko do balidan.
Fantastic.
Swami said, aham ko do balidan is wrong, Swami said.
Oh.
Aham is aham brahmasmi.
Oh, aham kara.
Yeah, aham kara is wrong, Swami said. Then Swami went on to say, aham plus akar is aham kar.
Yes.
And akar is your body. Akar is the shape of your mind also. And the shape of your intellect also. When you go beyond the shapes, beyond the structures,
yes,
then you are just the aham. So it's a journey from the lowercase I,
yes,
to the uppercase I.
Yes.
So shut the I and open the eye. So this was a beautiful thing that Swami told us, and just a while ago, we were just there sitting and discussing that Swami never left any stones unturned to chip off your ego.
Yes.
And we were so fortunate that Swami did that to us.
Maybe you can just share one instance when Swami did that ego surgery on you.
No, that I think is a very common a phenomenon that most of us living very close to Bhagwan, we have been experiencing. All of us, we have our own share of experiences of that kind. But I can tell you one paroksha type of experience that I had many, many years back.
Sure.
I was in Assam, and I was to participate in a huge seva, a Bal Vikas program. Now what happened was, I was never aware that I was supposed to address the audience on education in human values. Because mine was just participating in the Bal Vikas program, Guru's program, and then singing some bhajans. That was my part. Then it so happened that the chief guest was already there, who was a very big scholar, mm-hmm. a scholar of Vedanta. And there was nobody prepared to present a paper, and there was a seminar going on. And the state president asked me, you go and make a presentation. Now I said, impromptu, how can I make a presentation? Because if it's a seminar, I am expected to present a paper. I haven't written any paper. He said, you speak something impromptu, doesn't matter. So now what happened there was, you know, you just go and stand there and blink. And then you don't know what you are going to speak because you are not prepared. And during those moments when you are most unprepared, that he fills you in because you are praying so hard.
Yes.
And then Swami suddenly inspired in me to speak on Shikshavali.
Oh, wow.
Now that was a discourse that I had heard Swami speak so many years back during our convocation. And he had spoken mostly on Shikshavali. And then it became an exegesis on Shikshavali. And then how the gurus the gurus of yore, they used to be first prepared, completely enlightened. And then they would wait for the students to come from all different, you know, Amayantu Brahmacharina Swaha, Vimayantu Brahmacharina Swaha, Shamayantu, you know, people who had Shamadama Upariti Titiksha. Such students, the teachers would yearn to have such students. So they would pray to God that now that I am prepared, I am ready to give them all the knowledge of the sciences and arts. God, please send these deserving students to me from every side. So like this, Swami had made this beautiful discourse, Swami had taught us. So I started speaking on that. Now it so happened that this man suddenly on the stage, he started crying, the chief guest of honor. Oh. And I still remember after my talk, I sang a devotional song, which I had sung before during Swami's 60th birthday. Ye garva bhara mastak mera, Prabhu charan dhool tak jhukne de, aham kaar vikar bhare man ko, nich naam ki mala japne de. I had sung this song during 60th birthday. So there also I sang this song because it was very convenient to sing it. And it was very appropriate also. What happened was, after the song, the chief guest got up, and he told me, you have crushed my ego. Because I had translated, I am the only Assamese scholar, Vedic scholar, who had translated the Shikshavali, that entire Taittiriya Upanishad, into Assamese language. But this interpretation, this new exegesis on it, I have never heard in my life. Where did you get it from?
Amazing.
And I said, I got it from Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba touched him also. You know, crushing of the ego.
Yes.
He has got so many different techniques of...
He didn't touch him, he gave him the power.
He gave him the power.
He empowered you. Because you became empty, he empowered you.
He empowered you, yes.
So it was a very nice experience of, you know, because I already had my own share of chipping off the ego. And it used to be so painful. We all know how painful it used to be. But Swami would say, Vaidyo Narayana Hari. So let me perform the surgery. Don't stop me. If you hold my hands, then the surgery won't happen. And then you will continue with your ailment. The biggest ailment that can ever happen is the ego. And then I had this beautiful experience of Swami telling me, because I had... That day, you know, the day Swami shifted to the Rajmata of Navnagar's palace in Vrindavan.
Correct.
When he had
Devi Nivas.
Yeah, Devi Nivas. Because the house had to be demolished, Swami's bungalow was being demolished for the reconstruction of the new
Trey Vrindavan.
So Swami said, let's go there and find out peace, Swami said. So that evening we had a nice housewarming and bhajan session. My voice was in the best condition. There was nothing wrong with me. But three times I broke down. I couldn't sing. I was avruddha and so many things happened. Then after the bhajan, your ego is at your peak, you know. Because you are singing bhajan and Swami is praising you every day. And you know, when your ego is so raw and so bloating everywhere, the slightest prick also becomes very painful. So I was again and again holding my throat and showing it to the humanity sitting around that actually I am okay, but you know, today my throat is not in condition, so I couldn't sing well. I was trying to show off. Mm. And Swami said, you don't have to do that. It's your ego that has blocked your throat. Oh, Swami told me. Tumhara gala theek hai. Tumhara ego usko block karta hai.
Oh my God.
Swami ke charan mein khali ek hi cheez hai, ek hi vyadhi hai, jo tere gala ko stop kar sakta hai. Wo tumhara ego hai. Baki koi bhi bimari, koi bhi kuch bhi tumko nahi hone wala hai. Swami said that. It was a great moment. But again, you know, your maya prevails again. So after a few more days, a few more pats on your back and people saying that, oh, you sang so well, you lifted me sky high and took me to heavens, you know. And then you are once again puffed up. And of course, we were at the time, those days, you know, adolescents and
yes,
we were still young in our college. So those things happened, but it took so many decades and still, I am still wearing off my ego.
Every time you think about it, every time, I think these are moments which are eternal lessons.
Yeah.
Every time you think about it, a new meaning emerges, a new inspiration, new energy to follow that path. Yes.
Exactly.
Amazing. Yes, sir. Ajit Popat, sir, if you can share. I know you have...
taking a cue of what he is telling about the ego. You know, Swami Burns told me in the interview room, we were sitting in the inner room, and Swami told me that, Puppet, four things are taboo in spirituality. Four things cannot find any place whatsoever, even to 0.001%. First is knowership. Second is donorship. Third is doership. And last is ownership.
Wow.
Karishya Vachanam Tava, that was the statement made by Arjuna, because Swami made him very clear that I can kill each one of them without lifting even a finger, but I'm making only my instrument. You are a nimitta matram.
Yes.
Arjun never felt that he was a doer. Yes, at the last moment when he realized it, that he actually has won the war, and he told Krishna to get out and get off from the chariot, Krishna said, you better get off first. Because Arjun thought that now he's
the winner. Satyameva
Jayate, he has won the victory. But then Swami made it very clear that Krishna told him that no, insisted that you first get off. And as soon as Krishna came out of the chariot went into blaze.
Yes.
Because it was, Lord himself was taking all the blows.
Yeah. Yes.
So Swami made it very clear to me that, Puppet, when I used to, I'll tell you a very beautiful thing which happened, that one day he asked me to speak in Sai Kulwant Hall. He said, Bolo, Gopala, Malaka, Palaka, Chalaka, Sanchalaka. That was the subject. First of all, I didn't understand what he exactly meant. Right? And then he made me realize after the talk was that it is only that you are standing there and you are speaking what I want to hear. And it is me, that my voice, which is controlling you. One day, after that talk, as I was going back to my room in W97, I met a number of brothers and sisters and they were praising me sky high. Puppet, your show was great. Today, really, it was very inspiring, blah, blah, blah. Next time only, luckily, Swami called me. He said, Puppet, how are you? I said, Baba, I wanted to ask you one thing. Because last night this question was bothering me. That when I was going back to my room, everybody was praising me and everybody was saying that they were saying and they were giving me all the credits. So in that situation, what should be my reaction? Like brother said, Sonam, that when everybody is praising him, he also feels that yes, he is a very good damn singer. But the point is that he is able to sing so long as he gets the atmic power whereby his throat is clear and the blockage is removed. So likewise, I asked Swami, I said, Baba, what should be my reaction? He said, Puppet, if you accept the credit from others, remember you have to also accept the debit, because at the end of the day, account has to be reconciled. So never accept the credit that you are the doer. So I said, Baba, what should be my state of mind? He said, when somebody is telling you that you are very good, you are very fluent, your talk was excellent, keep on saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, mere ko mat bolo, mere ko mat bolo, mere ko mat bolo. Bhagwan is saying that in spirituality, if you really want to progress, there is no scope of hypocrisy. The problem about our ego is that we feel that we are the doer, that we are the owner, that we are the knower, and we are the donor. That was the language of Duryodhana. Arjuna only said, What did he say?
Karishya
O Lord vachanam. Krishna, Karishya Vachanam Tava. I shall do exactly what you say. And what was Bhagavan's instruction? Sarva dharmam parityajyam mamekam sharanam raja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami maasucha. He wants us to become the embodiment of three P's. Swami once told me very beautifully, rather in a lighter vein, but very seriously he went to me. He said, Papad, I am the embodiment of three P's. Peace, perseverance and patience. And he looked at me and he said, you are also embodiment of three P's. Power, position and possession. So now that transformation has come, and it must come in this very lifetime, that we must move from power, position and possession, because all these things are nothing but the reflection at a certain level in certain dimensions of the ego problem. I am MLA, I am MP. One day Swami told me a lot of VIPs are waiting. I thought there must be a lot of VIP, I mean big, either Minister of Communication has come or somebody has, Cabinet Minister has come. Then Swami just looked at me and smiled. Very impatient people are sitting there. They are all VIP. VIP, very impatient people. You see, Bhagwan actually knew, I mean he is the master craftsman to cut your ego in no time. Because basically what Swami wanted us to become is instruments. German knife made in Germany, very powerful instrument, if it is not sharp, it is useless, isn't it? And the day the white knife thinks that she is very powerful, believe you, while you are cutting the vegetable, she can cut your finger also. It's a double-edged weapon. And as Bhagavan says very beautifully, your youth, your power. There is a very beautiful brother, Pushti. I will take the opportunity and I feel honored to share the one of the most beautiful verses made by Lord Shankara, Lord Shankaracharya. Sadeshesu dhanya, videshesu maniya, sadachara vrutteshu nartana janya, manaschena lagnam guru radhipadme, tatakkim, 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 kim tata? Bhagavan told me, kim tata? Huh? You are famous in your own country. When you go abroad, you are honored and you are privileged and you are given red carpet. All this power, all this position, one heart attack. When within 15 minutes, this beautiful pump, which is installed by the Lord Himself, stops working. Stops. And within 5 minutes, you become part of Panchama Bhuta. Your own people will make sure that you are cremated very well. Huh?
And
is it not?
And they'll cry yes. over you for some time.
Well, that is a crocodile tears, you see. I hope so. Your panch prana, panch kosha, panch gnanendriya, panch karmendriya, panch mahabhuta, they are also having some kind of ego, but they don't realize it, that they are controlled by the Paramatma, the Paramashakti, who are the controlling power. You see, you switch off the light, you switch on the light and the light comes and you think that you have got power. No sir, power is outside. The main switch is on. Main switch think that he is doing a damn good job. No, it is connected to transformer. Transformer think that he is doing a damn good job and he is giving light to everybody in the whole street. But the problem is that it is connected to the main transformer and to the main switch.
Main switch.
You see, power nahi hai. Darkness aa jata hai.
Comes from the source.
It's our day-to-day, you know, and, even in Puttaparthi sometimes we have voltage fluctuation, internet doesn't work. Your Google is useless, isn't it? So Bhagwan is telling us from our practical life that all this power and position is only your false ego and your awareness which is absolutely crooked. Swami Vivekananda once very beautifully said, an American devotee asked him that, Swamiji, your name was Narendra and your master calls you Vivekananda. What is the meaning of it? He said, my brother, my master was the embodiment of supreme knowledge. He called me Vivekananda because unless and until you have the discrimination and the anandam. And what anandam? I remember Bhagavan once very beautifully told me when I came back from Gram Seva, he asked me, Papa, did you go for Gram Seva? I thought I had done a damn good job. You know, we went there in the village and from house to house we were distributing all the fruit, you know, Swami Prasadam. I said, Baba, yes, I did go. He said, what, how do you feel? I said, Anandam. He said, go inside. And brother, listen, and I hope my listeners will write down, Brahmanandam He said, there is a beautiful, beautiful sloka, Brahmanandam Paramasukadam Kevalam Jnanamurtim. But Baba turned it around in such a beautiful way, and he said, Brahmanandam Paramanandam Nityanandam Akhandanandam Atmanandam Adbhutanandam Ashcharyanandam Premanandam Yoganandam Turyanandam Satyanandam Advaitadandam. And then he raised his hand and he put it on his chest and he said, now Satchidanandam. The source of Anand is He. Ultimately the power, doesn't matter what power it is, whether it is political, material, in terms of scholarship, that power ultimately gives you what? Joy. Anandam. Correct? No, it doesn't give you anandam. It gives you temporary joy. When you eat balushai and Mysore pak, you feel happy. You don't become blissful. Because that happiness also disappears, because after 1 hour again you are hungry.
It's already innate.
Whereas that bliss which Swami gives from within, internal, that is power. That remains in all circumstances.
Yes.
Whether you are going through ups and down, like one day Swami told me very beautifully, I was looking down, he said, hey, puppet, what happened? Upset? Look up and get set. Look up and get set. That is real power. My equanimity remains the identical in every situation, whether it is prosperity, adversity.
Yes.
Whether I am well or I am unwell.
Yes. Beautiful.
Shirdi Baba in Science of Charitra, it is very beautifully recorded by Hemanpan. Baba once told the Shama, Udam jaake tum udhar kone mein baitho, dunya idhar se udhar ho jayega, tum hilna nahi.
Yes.
The problem is that when I am praised, I am walking 6 inches above the ground. And the moment somebody criticizes me, whether it is rightly or wrongly, my ego gets completely burst and then it's completely inflated.
Yeah.
And then it becomes shrunk. That's why my mood changes. This sloka is very beautiful. Swadeshesu Manya. Everybody respects you. Swadeshesu Mananya Videshesu Dhanya. Sadacharo Vrtyesu Mattona Chanya. Everybody is praising you. Manashcharya Lagnam Guru Radhi Padme. But you have not received the blessing of your Lord. Tatakyam 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 Tatakyam. At the end of the day, what will say? The bottom line is that he was a good man. That's it. They say it out of, decency.
Because they have to say it. Social etiquette.
Many people don't. Somebody said, I like Mahatma Gandhi. So I said, is it because of his truth and the respect and he is the father of nation? He said, no, that day we have a holiday. That day we have a holiday. So that is the respect we have now.
You're right.
Bachche logo pujo, aaj chutti hai.
Yes.
So, one has to be very careful about the power. What power are we seeking?
Yes.
Physical power. That's why Baba always used to say, never be proud about your youth, your prosperity, your knowledge, your wisdom. Because these are all temporary. One stroke and the memory goes. You become a cabbage.
Yes. In fact, I remember one very beautiful quote of Sir Abraham Lincoln. He said that if you want to really understand someone's character, test someone's character, don't give him adversity. Everybody copes with adversity. If you want to really test someone's character, give him power.
Yes.
Give him power.
Say whether he can digest. Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, sorry for the interruption, Brother Pushti. One day in Dakshineshwar, he said a very beautiful thing. Seeing milk is one thing. Drinking is another thing. Digesting is third thing. Having power is one thing. Experiencing that power and implementing that power and in overpowering people is another thing. But digesting the power in its true sense, with humility, that is why Swami said very beautifully, How will you digest the power? I will repeat what Swami has told me. Simplicity, humility, nobility, sincerity, honesty, loyalty, integrity, intensity, persistency, consistency, equanimity, unity, purity and divinity without any publicity. Then you can digest the power. Moment I become a mayor of the city, I will go around and throw my weight around. And I know in my heart of hearts that I am not powerful and I am losing weight, you see.
Yes.
Simplicity, humility, nobility, sincerity, honesty, loyalty, that is the formula by which you digest the power. Whether it is political power, Pandita Samadarshina, Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavad Gita,
yes.
Who is the Pandit? who has got equanimity? Samadarshina.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So now, today in this practical world, we have to see that if we are really given power, whether it is political power, whether it is a social power, whether it is economical power, the question is, have I accepted it in the right perspective and have I been able to digest it? Because if I can digest it, then I will not misuse it. Otherwise, Baba says, the khana pina sona marna. Loading, unloading, loading, unloading, loading, unloading. That's the daily business.
Yes. See, many times what is happening is perhaps we have ego of our knowledge, but we don't have knowledge of our ego.
You're right.
Because the moment we have, you know, certain amount of position, certain amount of power, certain amount of knowledge, then suddenly we have this ego of that knowledge. But somehow, it just happens that, you know, that it just, it doesn't just occur to us that, you know, there is an ego coming up. The knowledge of our ego, somehow, it does not happen so easily. I think that is why that spiritual training is so important, just so that whenever the ego crops up, I think many times people are not even aware that they are actually giving vent and encouraging that facet of their personality which will one day just crush them.
Yeah.
But somehow, because I have seen this in people. I have seen them, people who have, you know, spent so many years studying Swami's literature, for example, or people who have lived with Swami, people who have, say, written books about Swami, you know. So you think that, you know, so he's someone who's so sorted out inside because he spent so much time. But there, somehow, that person is not able to see that actually there is an ego that is talking many times. And many times, you know, you pray to Swami, Swami, it should not happen to me. It should not happen to me that, you know, as you do things, this awareness that I am having ego is very important. Because if that awareness only is not apparent to me, then I will not know. And if I don't know, I will not be able to correct myself.
Brother Pushti, if you allow me, it reminds me of a very beautiful incident which happened in Sai Kulwanthal. It was the Sunday morning. Bhagavan was standing near the railing. And the primary school children, you know, when they saw that Swami was standing there, they started full throttle, you know, all the... They were reciting Sri Suktam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Bhagavan was listening to Sri Suktam. And I was sitting in the portico. And of all the people, Swami called me. Swami called me and he said... And his eyes were sparkling like diamonds. Because he could not hide his joy. He was so pleased with these boys, you know, they were beautifully singing Sri Suktam. Swami told me, "Puppet, see how these boys are singing. Do you know this Sri Suktam?" So I said, "Yes, Swami." So he said, "Do you know Rudram? Do you know Narayan Suktam? Do you know Purusha Suktam?" So I said, "Baba, thoda thoda aata hai. I know little bit." He said, "They know everything." Within 1 second, he made me realize that all my knowledge is superficial and I am nowhere near to these little primary school children. And I was thinking all the time that I know Sanskrit and I know all these sotras. As a matter of fact, we were sitting in an interview room in Whitefield. I had gone there with the group of Gram Seva boys and Bhagavan asked me in the interview room, "Puppet, Vedam karta hai?" Brother Durgesh was also there from Mauritius and he said, "Okay, recite Purusha Suktam." Now, I knew that some of the boys did not know Purushottam very well. So I said, "Baba, today we will recite Narayan Suktam. Next time we will recite Purushottam." Because I knew that he has punctured my ego, you know. And he put me on the spot. The reason why he was trying to teach me is that if you think that you have written one book and your ego is very, you know, highlighted that you are a big author, the person sitting next to you, he very casually says that I have published Sai Navaratnamala. No, where is the comparison? You think that you have done a very good business and you know you have expanded your business in a manner that from $1 million you have now reached annual growth of $10 million, and then Mukesh Ambani comes and sits next to you and he says that I am the richest man of India.
Relatively.
Huh?
Relatively.
Relatively, yeah. No, what I'm telling you, even at physical sense,
yes,
this idea of doership and acquiring things, you know, and what is the basis? Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahansa very beautifully said that ego is so subtle that you chop it off. But if you don't burn it, it will sprout again.
Wow.
It must be burned. Like if you want that the seed should not grow, it must be fried.
Yes.
And then thrown away. It will never grow. It is dead. Likewise, ego has to be cut very vigilantly. That is why Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahansa's direct disciple, Swami Brahmananda said, the catchword in spirituality is, vigilance is the price that you pay to become spiritual.
Vigilance
is the price that you pay to become spiritual. You should be very vigilant. Am I speaking or am I hearing the voice of God or is my ego speaking? One has to be very vigilant. The moment I comes on the surface and it is uppermost, believe you me, God doesn't want to know you. Because you think that you have only seen the milk, you have not drank it. And even if you have drank it, somebody has poured it, you have not digested it. It's a waste of energy. So one has to be extremely vigilant. This idea of cutting down the ego and making a very humble person, it is very easier said than done.
Yes.
It requires tremendous amount of vigilance. Swami Vivekananda is the classic example. Having given the message of Vedanta in United States of America, he came back as a hero. When he saw Swami Brahmananda standing at a reception party in Howrah station, first of all, Swami Vivekananda did Sashtang Dandavat Pranam on the railway platform which was dirty. You know how Indian railway platforms are, with due respect. Somebody has already spit, somebody has already thrown a cigarette butt. But Swamiji was never bothered, because he was the embodiment of humility. That's what Swami himself told us in Kodaikanal. He said the reason why Ramakrishna Mission has a sterling example of the messengers of Vedanta and Master's teaching is because they are completely egoless and they have complete humility. There is no competition. You see, the power game also gives a birth to a child which is known as competition. I want to be one step ahead of you. If I do succeed, my ego goes another 10-story high. If I don't, then I'm jealous of you. You see? Then I'm burning within myself.
Yes.
So this is a double-edged weapon, brother.
Yes.
In fact, this power is, first of all, one becomes actually in the reality when he acquires the power, he becomes powerless.
Yes.
Because the moment you start exercising your power through your home minister, na, she will tell you, mere ko idhar mat lecture do, bahar jaake tumhara party ko bolna. Whichever party that you belong to. Here, whatever I have prepared, you eat it. If you don't like it, go to 5-star. She puts you rightly.
Yeah, on the lighter side of it.
Yeah.
An astrologer goes to a lady and tells her, I can tell the future of your husband.
Hmm.
And she tells him, I am writing his future. You tell me about his past. But humor aside, I just want to...
How powerful was his past?
Brother Popat, I just want to... after all this beautiful exposition about ego, and then so rightfully you said that, you know, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because again, it just...
Yeah, that also I'm saying out of ego only.
It raises his hood. In fact, I once told one of my friends when we were in our Vrindavan days, you know.
Hmm.
So I said, I am really egoless, you know. So my friend, I am so humble. I said, your humility is full of ego. My friend told me. Your humility also can be couched in ego. But I had a beautiful experience that I thought I should share it in this context. You know?
Yes, sure.
Way back in 1983, Swami was standing on the veranda, and we were all, you know, those days, those were the good old days when anyone could go and sit anywhere on the veranda.
Mm-hmm.
So we were right in the front. And then Swami was telling us about ego. And how the ego can destroy everything, all the good that you have done in a trice, it can just, destroy it. And then, all of a sudden, on the other upper side, Mr. Indula Shah had come.
Okay.
So Swami started talking to, Swami moved to the upper section, and then Swami started talking to Mr. Indula Shah and said, kaisa hai, organization kaisa hai, how's everything? So he said, Swami, bahut sab kuch theek chal raha hai. Everything is going on very fine. Then Swami said, what are you doing with the ego? So, because it was a question out of the blue. It's not, you know, because seemingly it didn't have anything to do with the organization, the functioning of an organization. But Swami was telling him that, you know, the organization functions very well when you address this problem. Because it was very much in the context, because Swami was talking to us on ego. Yes. And then Swami shifted the whole locus to the upper segment, and started telling him, what are you doing with the ego? And then Mr. Shah said, Swami, it's very difficult. Ego is very difficult. Swami said, no, I have made it very easy for you. The structure of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization itself helps you in this respect.
Wow.
Then Swami said, how is this Satya Sai organization different from the other organizations of this world? There is this United Nations, Swami said. And there are a lot of puffed up people there in the United Nations. And Swami was telling everyone that, you know, sometimes they are successful, but many times they are unsuccessful in whatever they do. Because of play of ego, Swami was telling very casually. But in Satya Sai organization, things are different. How is it different? Tell me. Then Mr. Indulal Shah said, Swami, ye to aapka Bhagwan ka sansta hai. Swami said, Bhagwan ko sansta nahi chahiye. Swami doesn't need an organization. My organization is the whole universe. I don't need a small organization. It's for you, Swami said. And I have given you this organization as a present to help you in your spiritual endeavor, in your sadhana. Swami made it so clear.
Wow.
Then he said that, Swami, lekin, this is an organization started by you. Swami said, no, I didn't start an organization. I empowered you to do things in a structured way, and that is the Satya Sai organization.
Very true.
Then he said this most beautiful thing. If you don't know, I'll tell you. The characteristics of the Satya Sai organization, he said, this is the only organization in this world which is not vertical in its structure, but horizontal, Swami said.
Wow.
Then he said, this is the only organization which doesn't look like a pyramid. Wherein the base cannot see the top and top cannot see the base. The pyramid is structured like that, Swami said. And there is a communication gap. But in the Satya Sai organization, there is no communication gap. Because everyone is reachable, approachable, accessible. So there is, the whole structure is so simple. Then the third thing in the Satya Sai organization, Swami said, there are no positions, wealth and power in the Satya Sai organization, only roles and responsibilities. And once the roles are enacted very well, or whatever, you get off the stage. After the enactment, you don't keep on enacting the role still, continuing throughout your life on the stage.
Correct.
So that is the structure of the Satya Sai organization. And of course, the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization is the only organization which is nurtured by the love of God, who is an avatar. Swami said this. Now, is it like that? Swami asked him. What you are doing, does it really match this description, what you are doing, and this description? So he looked at Swami and said, Swami said, yes, I know. That is why ego is coming up, Swami said. Because you are not conforming yourself to the norms that I have set. There is a lot of play of ego. Once you kill that ego, with lot of skill, if you kill the ego, then there is only goodness, happiness, and totality, Swami said.
Wow.
So I had this beautiful experience once again. You know, many years back, I was still a student in Vrindavan, and I wanted to come for Ishwarama Divas to Puttaparthi. For no reason, I was just, you know, I thought that it was a fanciful thought that I wish Swami would call me for Ishwarama Divas, because I had seen all the other festivals in Puttaparthi save Ishwarama Divas.
Generally, this falls in a vacation time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote a letter. And Mr. C. Srinivas, at that time he was a warden. So he told me, Swami has called you to Puttaparthi. So all of a sudden in the evening, there was a flurry of activities. It was announced that Swami is going to Puttaparthi. Swami has called him. Whoever wants to write letters, write them and deposit it there in the office. So I will take it tomorrow. And all of a sudden, I felt so important. I got like the ambassador of God. I am taking everyone's letter.
Postmaster General.
Postmaster General. Swami has specially called me to Puttaparthi. Mm. So puffed up, I reached Puttaparthi, expecting Swami to straight away call me and take me inside. And then I would present the letters to Swami, you know. Mm. Swami came out and didn't even notice me. So he went out, and that was in my life the first ever cold shoulder treatment. That's what we used to call it. The cold shoulder treatment was the beginning of your operation.
Yes.
So that was the first time.
Without anesthesia.
Without anesthesia. And Swami didn't, Swami without looking at me, he gave out, he went out to give darshan. So I thought on his way back, Swami will possibly take me in. But on his way back, he called a lot of people for interview and took them inside and didn't bother to look at me. So I went and sat down for the morning bhajan. That was the only solace now, the only way out to vent out. One bhajan and Anath Bandho Sai Prabhu came, would come so handy. Those bhajans were the bhajans that we would really cry out when Swami would stop talking to you. Swami would start ignoring you, you know. So I sang that bhajan. And after Arati, Swami did the most fantastic thing in my life. He held my fingers, and after Arati, he led me through his door into the interview room.
Wow.
And once we were inside, he closed the door and turned towards me. And then the first thing that he told me was, "Kahe ko itna ego karta hai? Why are you so egoistic?" So it was a reflex answer from me. Swami's reply, I said, "Swami, ego ho jata hai, Swami. It happens, Swami, what to do? I can't help it." I felt like a patient, you know, telling the doctor that it pains. I don't know how it, where it comes from, why does it come. I don't want the pain. Mm. But it's happening, Swami, what can I do? Swami said, "Nahi karna." I said, "How, Swami? Kaise nahi karna, Swami? Ho jata hai. Ego ho jata hai, Swami.
How not?
It happens. How not to do it, Swami? How can I prevent it?" Swami said, "Is mantra ko yaad karo. Sai Shwarpanamastu bolo."
Wow.
Jab bhi tu bhajan gata hai, kuch bhi achha karta hai, ego aata hai, Sai Shwarpanamastu bolo aur bhul jao.
Samarpan.
Sai Samarpan.
Sai Shwarpanamastu. Sai Shwarpanamastu.
Submit it to Swami.
Submit it.
Offer it to Swami. Yeah.
Samarpan.
Yes. Samarpan.
So till this day, I've been doing this mantra every time, so it has really helped me a lot.
Yes, yes.
But as I was telling you, it is always there.
Yes.
But then on a low key, definitely. The day the ego doesn't remain, the small I doesn't remain, the big I alone will remain.
Absolutely.
So that day has to come in our life, yeah.
Yes, wonderful. And so, sir, Popat sir, we'll have the last word from you before time is running out. And I know we can continue this session for the whole night. Because Sonam sir will have so many stories. I know his life has been a saga of this. No, and you will have also so many interactions. Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, at the cost of repetition, I would like to only stress upon one thing, which I'm practically reflecting my own self.
Yes.
And addressing my own self, and also sharing with brothers and sisters and listeners of Radio Sahi, that let us remember one thing, that anything that we have acquired from outside, either with our efforts, or sometimes I get it in hereditary heritage. You see, my father was a multimillionaire and he has left $20 million for me. That acquired money is not my financial power. I have not worked for it. It's not going to last in any case. Because I do not know the value of it in any case. You see, so Swami told me very beautifully that any knowledge, any virtue, any power, any efficiency and proficiency that you acquire it from outside you, it cannot be the real thing. The real power, the real capabilities emerges from within. And that one acquires only with humility, with sadhana.
Yes.
In complete submission. You see, the child will sit in the lap of the mother and learn. That's a true learning. But 1 hour tuition with the teacher is being paid, and the child thinks that he is sacrificing his play. You see?
Yes.
So, because whatever Swami gives us from inside is the love that promotes, and that is the main...
That is what? If anything that we call as power, it has to be something that has come from within.
Within.
Not something that has come to us from a person, from an organization, from a position or anything outside of us. Yes. That is not power. Anything not power. If we think is power, it should have come from within. And that is the true empowerment for us.
Exactly.
And lastly, I would like to share one thing, one very beautiful statement of Swami. Once he told me very clearly, he said, Papa, do you realize that you are living on borrowed time? That do you realize that you are living on borrowed money? That do you realize that you are living on borrowed energy? Who is digesting your food? Are you making any effort? Who is converting your energy into power?
Yes.
Are you making any efforts? Are you really making any efforts? Is any of the listener can vouchsafe and say that yes, he is making a hell of a effort to breathe? No. It is normal. It is nothing but the love of the Lord which has designed the metabolism in such a way that his heart has been created to last at least for 100 years.
Yes.
It's a beautiful pump which has been installed in the body. We don't know how it is functioning. We are not able to see, but the blood is circulating all the time, isn't it?
Yes.
Do we hear the noise? So Baba says that when you reflect upon these realities of your beautiful structure, then you will become humble.
Yes.
Then you will realize the real power is within you and it is working silently.
Yes.
So when I do get power at physical level, whether it is because of the scholarship, because of my hard work, because of my expertise, whatever may be the reason, I must come down to the ground level and understand that it is God-given gift and I am only a trustee.
Yes.
The notion of trusteeship is very important.
Yes.
So once I become a trustee, my only objective is to manage it in the manner in which it is most efficient, without any prejudice. Then Bhagavan said that you are a good storekeeper. But realizing that the power is coming from the main line, that is why he again reminded me, go to the source with all the force, where you find all the resource, that is the right course, there is no other recourse, that is the essence of Bhagavan's divine discourse.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. I think that was the powerful message that should keep reverberating in us all the time about who is the true source of all the power that we think is power. And what we see today in the world is this love for power. And I feel what is the most important thing is power of love.
Yes.
We see in the world the love for power. Everyone for some reason, you know, there is this mad love for power. Everywhere, you know, even within the Satyasaya organization. Let's face it, it is there. But what Satya Sai demonstrated, lived, painstakingly showed us day in and day out is the power of love.
Yes.
I think if we always keep our focus on the power of love, then this worldly power will not affect us. It will not corrupt us. It will not do anything which will damage our spiritual growth.
Beautiful.
I think
very well said.
That is something which will do good, because ultimately wherever we are, whether we are in the Satyasaya organization, whether we are in our business, whether we are looking after our family, whatever we may be doing, we are actually all the time only journeying towards the God. We are all the time only in the spiritual journey, and for spiritual journey we have to let go the ego and let God come in. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir Ajit Popat sir, and Dr. Sonam sir, for sparing your time. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he allowed this satsang today. And like it has been for every satsang, I know he is the one who makes it happen. And we only pray that he sends the right people, we create the right vibration so that this becomes another opportunity, another exercise to exorcise our ego and take us closer, one more step closer in our journey from I to we to he. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us through this program and through this entire Thursday. If you have any queries or comments or suggestions or your own experiments with dealing with ego, your own experiments with trying to practice one little teaching of Bhagwan, your own joys and your own challenges and your own little victories in trying to live these beautiful little messages in your life, please do share, because as we share, we encourage. As we share, that is one beautiful way we care, because the more we share, the more we help each other in this beautiful journey. We have to hold our hands together, and as Bhagwan always wants us, together move towards Him as one big, beautiful, loving, one Atma, one family. So please keep writing to us, and let us always remember to soak ourselves in this Prema Vahini, in this power of love. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.